Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from both the epistle lesson and the gospel reading. The epistle reading from Romans 12, we hear the Apostle Paul write, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." And from the gospel reading, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." This is God's word. I don't know if you've seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, but that is a very graphic portrayal of Jesus in his passion. And watching that movie, another message emerges as well. It reveals the power of Rome at that time was a force to be reckoned with. Behind the marble statues and the beautiful monuments to peace was a brutal power and a system of punishment that stripped its enemies of dignity and ruled by force. And yet, in the middle of that system, God worked. One person, not riding in triumphal procession through Rome with imperial guards on every side, just one person staggering through the streets of Jerusalem is our source of peace and hope. The Passion of the Christ, the movie, has one scene that captures this vision of God and the sacrifice of Jesus that brings peace. It's that moment when Jesus speaks to his mother Mary on the way to the crucifixion. Now, it's not a moment that you'll find in any of the four Gospels, but it is a moment that brings Scripture together in a striking way. And here's the scene. Jesus is bloodied and beaten. He's carrying his cross beam through the crowded streets of Jerusalem. He falls for the third time, and as he does, Mary, his mother, reaches out as if to catch him. And as she does that, all of these images explode in her mind. Memories of little boy Jesus running to her and tripping and falling on the streets of Nazareth, and she reaches out for him at that time. These images of the past only make the present more painful. She realizes that this time she cannot catch him. She cannot save her Jesus. But when Mary reaches out to Jesus, Jesus stops and reaches out to catch her with a word. We have this moment where we see Jesus' face is awfully bruised and bloodied. In the background is this cross, but his eyes are filled with wonder. And he turns to Mary and he says to her, "Behold, I make all things new." When Mary's mind is filled with images of the past, Jesus offers the promise of a future. When Mary's heart is breaking over the end, Jesus is offering her a new beginning. When Mary can only see death, Jesus gives her a message of life. Jesus teaches Mary to see this horrible destruction as God's most creative act. God is in control and at work for his world in the self-sacrifice of Jesus It was true back then. While Rome flexes its military muscle and might, and the religious leaders hatch their schemes, and the people of God start to lose hope, God is in control, working for His world. Jesus walked through the streets of Jerusalem to offer His life as the one true sacrifice that forgives all sins of all people for all time. It was true then, it's true today. Jesus is our source of peace and hope. It's this peace that Paul knows and proclaimed to the Roman Christians in his letter, and he proclaims the same thing to you today. But this peace isn't just something that we look back at like some sort of historical artifact or neat old story. Just as he did with the Roman Christians, Paul invites you today to live in that peace now, as the kingdom of God comes to you. What does this life look like? Well, notice the type of things that Paul makes in his list here in Romans 12. Let love be genuine, hate what's evil, hold on to what's good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, and on it goes. This list celebrates a bunch of small, seemingly insignificant ways of God. Acts of brotherly affection. Noticing the lowly. Taking care even of your enemies. Offering a cup of water or a gift of food to someone who does not have your best interest in mind. These are the ways of God. The Romans carved figures of leadership into marble, made them into gods as a way of celebrating power and getting my way. God forms His kingdom not with stones or statues, but in flesh and blood. He takes you as His own, cleanses you in the water of holy baptism, fills you with His Spirit, and brings you to life. His work may not be noticed by the world. It may not be celebrated as a major turning point in history. No, it may simply be a moment when you rejoice with someone who rejoices or weep with someone who weeps. But it is a working of God, a real life expression of God's Spirit at work in our world, bringing about a different kind of peace than one that you have to maintain by force. Now, going back to Paul's list, when you hear all of this, bless those who persecute you, don't curse them, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty. When these come over you all at once, they can be confusing words and they can challenge you to your very bones. We don't know where to start or where to get the power to do them. But when we encounter these words and directions as a community, a way in which God's Spirit works through people, these words become comforting. They become encouraging. They open our eyes to see the ways that God is at work for His world and is very, very near us in everyday life. Once you hear these words from Paul, you begin to see God at work in His people all the time. And the vision, no matter how small, seemingly inconsequential, can bring you great encouragement. Let me just offer you one example. Consider a pastor who went to make a hospital visit on one of his members. She was in the last stages of cancer, heavily medicated, unresponsive, but he went to weep with those who weep. When he rounded the corner into her room, he was surprised by what he saw. Her daughter was there at the foot of the bed, and she had thrown back the covers, and she was using some type of lotion to rub into her mother's body, beginning with the feet. Now, this was a pretty expensive lotion, more than the daughter could probably afford, and as the pastor walked into that room, he was hit with this beautiful scent. And the daughter looked at him with a mischievous smile on her face and made him promise not to tell what she was doing. "Don't tell my kids," she said, because her kids had given her this lotion for Mother's Day. "You never do anything for yourself," they said. And here she was using that lotion to massage her mother's feet. Now, her mother was unresponsive. She wouldn't know the difference. But the pastor did. That day, he saw a vision of God's kingdom. Not carved in marble, but in flesh and blood. Immersed in suffering, yet alive in love. Mother and daughter giving, receiving mercy, surrounded by death and dying, yet living in an act of selfless love. And that's the vision that Paul invites you to see this morning. He invites you to open your eyes and take a look at the people that God has gathered in this place. You can see God at work. Not in great stories of massive military victories or great works of power, but just in little stories of sacrifices, of selfless service. This is the kingdom of God. This is how it moves. And we have Jesus' own promise that the gates of hell itself will not prevent that movement of love. Please pray with me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see that the kingdom for which we pray, when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," is here, right now, in the gifts of love that you give to your church, your word, your sacraments, and the people who receive these gifts. By the working of your Spirit, may the love we receive here be the love we give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.